So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 23rd chapter, entitled The Song of Avanti Brahmana, text number 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vi Bhagavanu Vacha Bahaspatya Sanastyatra Sadur Vaidur Janeritai Duruktair Bhinnatma Atmanam यह समाधातुमीश्वरः श्री भगवान वाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड से बारहस्पत्य ओ डिसाइपल ऑफ बृहस्पति सह ही न अस्ति देयर इज नॉट अत्र In this world, sadhu, a saintly person. Why? Indeed. Durjana, by uncivilized men. Iritai, used. Duruktai, by insulting words. Bhinnam, disturbed. Atmanam, His mind. Yah, who? Samadhatum, to compose. Ishwarah, is capable. Translation and purport by followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna said, O disciple of Brihaspati, there is virtually no saintly man in this world capable of resettling his own mind after it has been disturbed by the insulting words of uncivilized men. Translation, please repeat. Lord Sri Krishna said, O disciple of Brihaspati, there is virtually no saintly man in this world capable of resettling his own mind after it has been disturbed by the insulting words of uncivilized men. Purport. In the modern age, there is widespread propaganda ridiculing the path of spiritual realization. And thus, even saintly devotees are disturbed to see the progress of human society being obstructed. Still, a devotee of the Lord must tolerate any personal insult, though he cannot tolerate offense against the Lord Himself or the Lord's pure devotee. Om Agyanta Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter, the song of Avanti Brahmana, is about how that Brahmana or transcendentalist, he was insulted in various ways to all degrees and how he tolerated that. So basically, it's a good lesson for all of us because tolerance is a very important quality to develop. So, and in today's verse, it is said that it's very hard, it's very difficult to tolerate these insulting words or other sorts of insults as well. So basically here it says, there is virtually no saintly man who is capable of resettling his mind. So basically mind gets so much disturbed when someone insults us. So it says even saintly men, sadhu, there is virtually no sadhu. Basically it means that it's very hard even for the saintly people what to speak of common men. So this age which is going on, as we know, it's called Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. So minds of people are so agitated that even on slight provocation, you know, they get really agitated, they are ready to fight and like that. So, and even it says saintly men, if they are faced with these harsh words, even they feel very difficult to, you know, resettle their mind and their composure and act in a right way. And similarly we see these seem to be contradictory, these two. Here it says it's very almost, there is almost no saintly man, but the last chapter, last verse of last chapter, it says O soul of the universe, the conditioning of one's personality in material life is very strong, and therefore it is very difficult even for learned men to tolerate the offenses committed against them by ignorant people. But then it says, who can tolerate these kinds of insults? It says, only your devotees who are fixed in your loving service and who have achieved peace by residing at your lotus feet are able to tolerate. So it's not that, okay, it's not possible to tolerate, so we won't tolerate and we should retaliate. No, it says those who are fixed in loving devotional service, they are able to tolerate such insults. And here, as it says, this is conversation between Uddhava and Uddhava and Krishna. And Krishna is addressing Uddhava as, O disciple of Brihaspati. So Brihaspati is a great spiritual master, so that's why he's recognizing that you are a disciple of a great spiritual master, so you'll be able to understand this subject matter, although this is hard, you know, to tolerate such insults. So now we can discuss how we should deal with such insults. When we face such insults, how to deal with them. So basically it's like, if someone offends us, someone insults us, so our mood should be not to retaliate, rather than be humble and just tolerate that insult. And we should think that, you know, actually I deserve worse because of my sinful past, and, you know, even now my mind and, you know, my activities are not perfect, so I'm very fallen, so actually I deserve much worse insult and punishment. But this is nothing. So this should be the mood. Or if someone insults us, we should be very meek and humble and tolerate such insults. So if there is pride, then it's very hard to tolerate the insults like that. And the famous words that Trinada Pishunichena, Taror Apisaishnuna, Amanina Mandena, Kitnya Sadahari. So it says one should be as humble than as a blade of grass. Yeah? So grass is like everyone tramples on grass, you know, and it bends and it never protests. So that is the humility. So that's why Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed that we should be as humble than a straw of a grass. Very, very humble. If someone tramples, you just bend. So if someone insults, you say, oh, okay, no problem. I deserve worse, like that. But at the same time, we should not move from our determination to serve Krishna because of those insults. It's not that, oh, someone insulted us, okay, that's it, we'll drop our service. No, it's not like that. So we should accept all insults by accepting the mood of grass, but at the same time, taror eva sahishnuna, we should be as tolerant or as strong as a tree. So tree is like, example of tree is very nice, because tree, if you see, tree provides so many things. If you know, people sit under it to get relief from scorching heat. You know, it gives shade and fruits and leaves, you know, and what, and then even if people cut the wood, cut the branches for, you know, for fuel, you know, to cook or something, it never protests. But it's very strong. It provides and it never protests. So that's very, as it's that's the strength, as tolerant as a tree. So that's that what it means. So we are humble as well, but we are very determined as well to stick to devotional service. And same way, this humility should not be also misunderstood, that we are humble, that we tolerate all the insults, but at the same time we continue our devotional service. So we never say, oh, we understand our low position, but we don't say, okay, I'm so fallen, I'm so unqualified, so I cannot do devotional service. You know, so that's called false humility, that I'm so fallen that I cannot, you know, I'm not qualified to do this service, like that. No, it's not that. So we should always do the service, as one disciple of Prabhupada was telling him that, oh Prabhupada, I'm most fallen. So he said, no, you are most nothing. So that's false humility. I'm most fallen, like that. No, so Prabhupada said, you are most nothing, like that. So humility should be there, but false humility should not be there. Now another point. So this is how to tolerate offenses done to ourselves. How to tolerate that. But how to react in a situation when we see other devotees being offended. So that's also very important to learn. Because devotee is very intelligent. He is just not falsely humble, but he is very intelligent. So in Nectar of Devotion, 9th chapter, it's this first point it discussed is how to deal with the situation when you see others, devotees or Lord, being insulted or offended. So it says, it gives three processes. You have to follow three things. So first thing, if you see some devotee being offended, so you should be so much expert so that you can argue and defeat the person. If someone is offending, oh, that devotee, why are you doing this? So you should be expert enough to defeat that argument, like that. So if that's not possible, you are not able to do, the second thing written in Nectar of Devotion, it says you should give up your life. Basically, do suicide. If you cannot defeat, that should give up your life. So that's the second. So third thing, it says, if you are not able to do these two, the second one sounds very tough, at least to me. So if you can't do these two, you should not just meekly stand there, just leave the place immediately. So these are the three things discussed. And I remember around 1 or 2 years ago, I think Sri Prahlad Prabhu was in Bhakt Bhavan and we were doing Nectar of Devotion. We were studying that, and when we invited him, so this chapter was going on, so he read few of the points and he said, okay, today we'll discuss on this point, that how to deal with insults to other devotees. So he was also mentioning that first two generally we avoid, we try to just leave the place, like that. So this is the best way. We shouldn't just stand there and hear. You know, so what happens, it's also written further, it says, if a devotee does not follow any of the above mentioned three processes, he falls down from his position of devotion. This is so dangerous. So every day we are trying to gain these devotional credits by chanting, you know, charging up the battery a little bit by doing the services. And if we just ignore this point, that we don't do one of these three things, so we actually lose our devotional credits. We fall down from our devotional position. So this is so dangerous. And we see from even Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, that how devotees responded to the position, to the situation of this offensive behavior by others, in how in previous classes we were discussing how when Nityanand Prabhu was, he Madhai, I think he struck him with a broken earthen pot, something, and he was bleeding. So how angry Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got, he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra like that. And similarly, another incident when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Mahaprabhu for prasadam, and then his son-in-law started offending him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got so angry with the stick, he started chasing him. And he said, I wish he dies and my daughter becomes a widow, like that. So he was so intolerant about these offenses. So at the same time, a devotee is meek and humble. So devotee is meek, but he is not weak, So when someone offends you, you are meek. But if someone offends other devotee or Lord, you can become really intolerant and you can show full anger like that. So Gangeshwar Prabhu was discussing about Mahabharata, that how the pure devotee Draupadi was insulted and the whole battle of Mahabharata took place. So they were so angry, all Pandavas, Arjun, Bhima was breathing like a snake, and then when the Mahabharata battle was there, they showed their anger, their intolerance, they showed, Bhima was cutting elephants into two like that, so much anger, So that's the anger. All, of course, devotees are humble, but we shouldn't tolerate insults like that. Another incident from Bhagavatam, when Yudhishthir Maharaj organized this Rajsuya Yajna, and so they had to decide who to worship first in the Yajna. They had to be, a puja should be done to a most respectful person. So who is that? So there were many Brahmanas and other saints. So they were discussing, is it this person we should, and Krishna was also present there. So in Prabhupada's purpose it was written that all those Brahmanas, many were not fully conversant with this knowledge of devotional service, so they couldn't clearly point out that, Krishna is the topmost person present here, so we should worship him first. So, but what happened, the youngest of Pandavas, Sahadeva, he got up and he started speaking about glories of Krishna, and he said it's Krishna who we should worship first in this Rajsuya Yajna. So then he was praising Krishna of his qualities and other activities. So what happened, this great demon offender Shishupal was present there. So as here it's written, these Durjana or uncivilized men, so these uncivilized men cannot tolerate the glories of Lord like that. So when Sahadev started glorifying Krishna, so he became intolerable. He couldn't tolerate such glories, and he started blaspheming Lord. So when he started various, and even from childhood it was predicted that Krishna will kill him. But he would always, whenever he would get a chance, he would try to blaspheme Krishna like that. So what happened, as soon as he started blaspheming Krishna, so all the pure devotees who were present there, their reaction is very important to know. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it says how as soon as Shishupal started these words like arrows, very insulting words, so many of them just closed their ears and many of them started leaving like that. So this is the proper behavior shown, that if Lord is insulted or Lord's devotee is insulted, so this is how we should act. And then immediately they picked up their weapons to kill the Shishupal. But before that, because it was nice purified place, and a yajna had to happen there. So Krishna thought it's not a right time to, you know, to start this battle and bloodshed here. So he just picked up his Sudarshan Chakra and chopped off Shishupal's head like that to just avoid the situation of a war. So like that. But main thing to understand here is how these devotees reacted when Lord was insulted. And there as well, similar to Nectar of Devotion in Bhagavatam, next verse there in this pastime, it says, anyone who fails to immediately leave the place where he hears criticism of the Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down, bereft of his pious credit. So this thing is being confirmed again and again in scriptures, that if you hear these casual talks about devotees and, if you know, and blasphemies, so you will certainly fall down if you just hear and try to enjoy that. So like that. And also I remember we should be very careful in these regards. And recently when Kadamba Kanan Maharaj was here, he was saying, when you are talking to a devotee, your two people are there, first person, second person, so you are talking. So as soon as the discussion of a third person arises, you should become alert. Oh, is it required? You know, do we need to discuss about that person? Is it, you know, is it required? You should become alert and think mentally. Is it required? In which direction this discussion is going? Towards just a casual blaspheming that devotee, you know, pulling him down. So this should be the reaction. We should become alert when, you know, discussion of third person has started like that. So, and also in the same regards, Prabhupada many times quoted that Vaishnavas are, they are actually very soft, like as soft as petals of rose, you know. But they are very strong as thunderbolt. So if there is blasphemy of a devotee, they become like thunderbolt, like that. And same way how we can, so now these uncivilized men are there, and this is a preaching mission. So now if we go out, all these uncivilized men are there, so it's very hard to preach. So how to preach to them? We have to deal with these different situations. So basically, again, this we should have discrimination. So in Bhagavatam, as it says, the Madhyama devotee has discrimination. So he discriminates amongst four classes of people. One is Lord, one is Lord's devotee, and then there are two others who are not yet devotees. So one out of those two, one class of people, they are innocent. They are not devotees yet, and they don't know about Lord, and so they are called innocent people. And another class, fourth class, is the envious people. So these envious or these durjana, uncivilized men, so from them we should be very careful. So while preaching, we have to classify who is innocent and who is faithless. So the test is, as soon as you start glorifying Lord about Krishna, as soon as you start to talk about God, these envious people will start revolting. So that's the test. So we should not preach to them, as it's ninth offense against the holy name to preach to a faithless person, to preach the glories of Lord to a faithless person. But at the same time, because devotees are merciful, we just don't want to hate them as well. So we try to engage them somehow or other, give them prasad or something, but not just keep on explaining and arguing about glories of Lord, that oh, Krishna is best and this, that, and that person is giving counter arguments. So better to avoid such arguments and, you know, ignore the situation. If he is accepting prasad, that's also good, like that. So this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which tells about the Madhyama devotee, it's very nice. It's in 11th canto, 2nd chapter. And I remember recently we did that sometime back. And Naveen Neerad Prabhu gave class on this verse. And he, one class he gave, Bhagavatam class, he said, that's not enough. Tomorrow again I'll give on same verse. So 2 days he gave class on the same verse. So it says, Ishware tad adineshu, balvisheshu dushat sucha, prema maitri kripopeksha, yaha karoti samadhyama. An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is important. He disregards or neglects, completely neglects and avoids such people. Because there is a chance of, as Mahaprabhu said, asat sang tyag ehi vaishnavachar. So this is asat sang. If you just that minutely also, momentarily also associate with such people, and so this is harmful for us. We can, our consciousness can be polluted by that association. So further in that purport, Prabhupada writes about this neglect, how that according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although a second class devotee is eager to preach to innocent conditioned souls, he should avoid the atheistic class of men so that he will not become disturbed or polluted by their association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has confirmed that a Vaishnava should be indifferent to those who are envious of the Supreme Lord. So this is very important. And further, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, this neglect or this upeksha that we show towards the faithless people, it's not lack of mercy. And he further says that this is the right reciprocation to such people. And this is the right medicine. So what happens if we associate more and argue more with these envious people? So this is not good for them as well and not for us. So what happens? We hear the blasphemy of Lord and we fall down from our position, and we are encouraging the other person to blaspheme Lord and he will further fall down. So that's why the neglect of such person or upeksha is the best medicine for such envious people. But in the, it's written, an example of Prahlad Maharaj is given in that purport, that how in the heart we should feel that, oh, how this envious person should also become Krishna conscious, like that. We should have soft corner for such devotee, but we should not much associate, because it's very degrading, like that. So this whole, by following all these things, basically we develop humility, and by this humility we can actually tolerate. And just a couple of occasions I've just wanted to share how we discussed similar things. Like once in a city I was there, I was coming back, and I was went to the tram stop on Swanston Street, or Collins Street rather, and so it was during the day, 2 or 3 o'clock, and then I was in same clothes and similar, and there was one person who got down from tram, and he very loudly he saw me and he said loudly, you know, oh ha ha, just see what a funny dress, everyone laugh like that, he said everyone laugh like that. So I totally neglected him, I did not even look at him. And I just kept walking, and no one else laughed. So then I thought, you know, this is the best type of reaction I should have given. If I just saw him, and you know, because other people watch that how you react, how these Hare Krishnas are reacting to such insults, and they become, if we behave nicely and graciously, so they become, you know, respectful towards devotees and Krishna like that. Another incident, I think Jay Prabhu and I, we were distributing books on Swanston Street, and one person, now this time this person was pretty much respectable, nice, he was during the, his lunch break, and he had a jumper with Telstra mark. He was a Telstra employee. Now he, I didn't even stop him, and Jayapur was standing near me. I didn't even stop him, and he started saying, "Oh, you are going to hell! You are going to hell!" And I just stood. I didn't react. You know, I didn't do anything, and that's it. He was started walking backwards, and then he left. And then I saw there were a few people who were actually watching the whole situation. So then I just started talking to Jayaprabhu, and so this was the, I think this was the best. If I started, "No, you are going to hell because you are doing sinful activities," and you know, it's not, no point. So this just increases, and you know, it agitates the other person more. So like that. So neglect is the best medicine, actually. Like that. So this should be followed. So ultimately, to tolerate all such insults, we have to develop this humility. So that's very important. So how Gangeshwar Prabhu was telling yesterday, that this humility, pridelessness, and respectfulness, like that, this is very important. So we should be humble, prideless, and we should respect others. We should be ready to give all respects to others. You know, of course, devotees are respectable. We should give all respect to all the devotees. But at the same time, for preaching, it's very important. Now, in one lecture, Prabhupada was discussing this same verse: "Tinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishuna, amanina mandena," means ready to give respects to others. So now for preaching, he said that we should be ready to give respects to everyone, like on book distribution or anywhere. We should be ready to praise others. Oh, and then Prabhupada was saying, although they are rascals, but we don't tell them that you are rascals. We said, "Oh, you are very learned man. Oh, sir, nice coat, very nice. Although it's a leather, stinking coat, but very nice. Please come. Oh, very nice." We just praise them. So give all respects to them, because they are expecting that. They are very proud of their position, whatever philosopher, scientist, manager they are. So they are already so proud. So we just respect them so that we can preach. We can make a way in their hard heart and preach like that. So this is the way to give all respects to others and be humble ourselves and prideless ourselves. So if we follow these three things, so then we can be tolerant against any insults to ourselves, like that. So that's... I would like to stop there and ask if there is any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Yes, Paul. Sometimes people come to the point that they, through their own fault, have some offensive mentality towards these misconceptions that they've picked up on my own.
Okay. Yeah, in a class situation, when you are giving a class, sometimes you may have to establish a point. You may have to strongly say and stick to that point, so that, you know, because other people are there as well, so they may not take their point to be correct. So to establish this Krishna conscious point, you may have to argue little bit, so that you can with your knowledge and expertise, you can subdue that person with your arguments. So that's the best way. But if that person keeps on going and going and going and trying to just blaspheme Lord and devotees, then basically you can't do much. So I read somewhere what generally if someone is giving a class in some forum and a person starts arguing. So first, you know, he's very challenging, in a challenging mood. So basically first, we shouldn't get agitated by that. We should be very calm in that situation. And if he's arguing on some point, we should try to give our argument and stick to that argument. But rather of listening to that argument, he or she is continuing is our own thing, then we can't do much. We just for proper behavior, we ask the leader of assembly, whoever is the main person, to deal with that person like that. And I remember in one farm retreat, there was with His Holiness Deva Amrit Maharaj, there was one person, he was just saying his own philosophy in very in an arrogant way, and you know, and then Maharaj was trying to establish the point, no, this is like that. Then he was continuously was just saying something of Mayavad nature like that. So then in the end, you know, Maharaj just, he asked Nityanand Prabhu, you know, then he asked him actually, oh, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm studying this, some degree, PhD or something. Then he turned to Nityanand Priya Prabhu, he said, oh, during a, when you are doing these degrees, big degrees, and you have to present your presentation in front of your seniors and your guides, so isn't that you have to be humble there? So Prabhu said, yes, you have to be very humble, like that. So in a very expert way, he tried to establish this point that you are presenting your arguments in such a proud way, actually you should be humble. For material things, for getting that degree, you will be humble in front of whatever, you know, if you are working, you will be very humble under your boss to get that money, you know. So why not be humble and just listen to these points like that? So sometimes we have to argue to establish that point. Does that answer? Any other questions? Or yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, how do you need love for God? You have love for God. How do you
need that? So first, it's like Prabhupada gives this example of a marriage, like how when in an arranged marriage situation some man gets married to a woman, so initially there is no love or something, but as a duty to for that relationship, he does all the household works, buys, goes to shop, he works, gets money, does shopping, so out of duty, then slowly that relationship builds. So similarly for Krishna, we may not have love initially, but as a duty, as a matter of duty, because we understand that this relationship is there. So now, as a matter of duty, we start doing this sadhana bhakti process, these activities, bhajan kriya, we start doing chanting, serving, various services, then this love develops. That's one way to answer that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, please. It depends. Question is, Mataji is asking that if someone has doesn't just know that Krishna is supreme, and he or she says that, you know, someone else is supreme, so is that a blasphemy? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Should you walk away that thing?
Yeah, so it depends on situation to situation. If that person is favorable and we see there is a ray of hope to cultivate that person, so we shouldn't just walk away. Of course, it's a second offense to consider names of demigods, even like Lord Shiva or Brahma, to be equal to name of Lord Vishnu. But at the same time, so that person would learn sooner or later, we should try to cultivate. So once Gangeshwar Prabhu was saying, well, preaching is like, it's like you go forward little bit and just see the reaction of other person. If he or she can take it, you go little further ahead. If he or she cannot take so much, then you go little behind, and like that. It's an art, so depends on situation.
Have you not encouraged them to say more?
that that's we present our argument that that how Krishna is supreme by our knowledge from scriptures. That's how we do it. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nita Gaur Premanandini ki.